Hello, listener. Warren and I are back on this pod to reflect on yet another story around Manchester United. This club just gives us story after story, week after week. In fact, we actually recorded another pod just this Tuesday where we were reflecting on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's sacking. And here we are, reflecting on the imminent appointment of Ralf Rangnick. Yeah, I hope that's how it's pronounced. Who said to be ready to take over as a manager of Manchester United on a short-term basis for 6 months, while the club will then move on in the meanwhile to work on finding a manager on a permanent basis in the summer. And this is probably what Man United might be getting when they appoint Ralf Rangnick as their manager.
Suppose Jürgen Klopp or myself or Julian Nagelsmann or Ralf Hasenhüttl had informed our players at 12 o'clock at midnight, we will meet in our training ground in 1 hour's time. And then we have a meeting in the locker room at 1 o'clock in the middle of the night. And then we play 2 times 15 minutes, 11 against 11. They would have played im Schlaf, as we say, by sleep or in this automatically high speed pressing, counter pressing, transitional football, because it was in their hearts, in their brains, and in their veins.
Before we start, I'd request you to press the follow button and the bell icon on whichever stream platform you're using to listen to Google Football Podcast. That'll ensure you do not miss out on any episode of this podcast of ours. Thanks. Warren, first thoughts on his appointment and yet another German coach in the Premier League, this time at Man United.
Yeah, I think it'll be a saying in Premier League now, when you are in trouble, get your hands on a German, because I think Liverpool did that thing, Chelsea did that thing, Southampton did that thing, and now we have United also following the same footsteps. And I believe that's down to the German philosophy of football, the aggressive football that PL likes, and the clubs following that. So I think things are falling in place where Germans finally take over Brits, although they've separated from EU. But yeah, Germans, one country, will still have some command on England in some or the other way, in the managerial aspects for sure. But yeah, very, very excited to see another man, another German face in Premier League, and knowing the fact that how influenced Jurgen's football is by Ralf Rangnick's coaching philosophy, and how he implements the same kind of tactics and football concepts that he has, and we've seen that in Liverpool. And even Ralf Rangnick has been vocal about how Jurgen has transformed Liverpool style in last 4 years, and been quite conversant of the fact that he also believes in this type of football, and wants to bring, wherever he goes, he tries to bring that kind of football in place. So yeah, pretty excited. I don't think so he'll be there for the Chelsea game, but yeah, post that it'll be a good shift.
Yeah, I'll come to taking your Liverpool thoughts regarding the whole high pressing game. And you mentioned the Germans taking over Britain. That's happened before, if you go back 70 years, but some history lesson probably for... Right. So for those not aware about Ralf Rangnick still, just a quick update upon what his CV basically says of. Ralf Rangnick is currently still working. He was appointed basically as the head of sports and development at Russian club FC Lokomotiv Moscow. He's previously managed the likes of Schalke, Hoffenheim, but his biggest project has been to oversee the rise of the Red Bull Group project at RB Leipzig and RB Salzburg, which has given the football world the famous gegenpressing style of football, which has been a real success story. Warren was obviously talking about what Jurgen Klopp did in his time at Borussia Dortmund, and obviously now at Liverpool. It's not just Klopp, Warren. I mean, there's a wide array of coaches and players who are now in top football jobs and positions across Europe. That list obviously mentioned Klopp, but apart from him, mentioned notable names like Tuchel, who's now at Chelsea, and obviously a European Cup winner who was hired by Chelsea after sacking Frank Lampard. And the German coach got them the European Cup within 6 months of his employment at Chelsea. Julian Nagelsmann, a fascinating young manager who is now applying his trade at Bayern Munich. He was at RB Leipzig before, who reached the semifinals of the Champions League. I think it was 2 years ago, or maybe was it last year? I'm forgetting.
Yeah, 2 years.
And also, for those who are not aware, American coach Jesse Marsh, who was instrumental in growing RB Salzburg, the club that also saw the rise of Erling Haaland, and Jesse Marsh himself being one of the disciples of Ralf Rangnick, and speaks highly of the German coach, who is now probably going to be joining Man United. So Warren, coming to you, like I mean, it's obviously been reported that it's going to be just a 6 month stint, and he is set to go into a consultancy role, which should restructure Man United as a football club, which is an absolute disarray. There's no football mind taking football decisions. People in the banking sector, in the investment sector, are the ones running the football club, which is why they're in such a mess. And that's what we, you know, kind of touched upon in the last podcast. And I think from my point of view, at least from, you know, if you speak to any Man United fan who's well versed with how the club is in a mess, and I'll keep stressing on it, I think this appointment will allow Man United to make the right football decisions, including choosing the right manager to take over from him, and development of the coaches and the academy. Now, I will want you to kind of take over, wear your Liverpool hat. And since, you know, you've seen all along Rafa Benitez and Roy Hodgson and Dalglish and Rodgers, and then came Jurgen Klopp. And you've seen this heavy metal football, this gegenpressing being implemented so successfully. You've seen Liverpool finding the right talent in the market. You've seen players coming through from the academy as well now. Even recruitment, when you talk of recruitment, you see Sadio Mane and Minamino, for example, which actually came from Red Bull setup. And I was not aware of that until I started doing some research. So what more do you think can happen at Man United? What kind of football, what instant changes can you see in terms of both, you know, playing style and results? And maybe we'll talk in the short term only here.
Yeah. So I'll break it down in two things. First, talking about what are Ralf's creds that make him so suitable for an interim job, which is right in my opinion, because that's the right approach if you want to have an instant push. He's already shown this particular drastic change of form, drastic change of influence on football in his previous jobs with Schalke and Hoffenheim. A great influence on German football. I remember one of the game where Ralf was managing and Klopp was at Borussia, and the Klopp style of pressing was actually countered on him, and Hoffenheim pressed them and defeated Borussia 4-1. And I think that was in 2008-2009, and that was the moment when the German football giants were also rising up, being Bayern being the only face. But then that little part of 2009 to 2013, we could see Schalke winning DFB Pokal, Hoffenheim being in top four, getting Champions League spots. So all that influence was because of the man Ralf Rangnick on the touchline. And his idea of football, as you were clearly mentioning, what he tries to bring and the way he's set up his team throughout his career is a clear reflection of how different managers have been following him. Not just the German managers, I would say, but there are a lot of managers who are following a similar philosophy. He's known a German professor, rightly so, because he's been in coaching since 30s and now 60s. So almost 30, 35 years of coaching, entire coaching tenure, which is a huge amount of experience. So what United can be very sure of when you're getting Ralf is that the kind of organization, the kind of setup internally and externally he's going to bring to the football game will be quite evident. It'll be visible to everyone, from fans to the top tier, those who are running the clubs. Now, if I talk about whether is it possible that after this 6 month interim job, whether United will be in position that even whosoever comes in place will be taking over and he'll have a team in good shape. To that fact, I think this entire change or this entire philosophy that United is now bringing with Ralf Rangnick is that they also see gaps that we were previously also discussing, gaps that were internally in the entire football scope of Manchester United. Now, when we talk about entire football scope, that talks about the transfer window, that talks about how the youth setup is currently performing, that talks about the academy, and that talks about every functioning is there. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've seen United more from a commercial image point of view, and they've been progressing there because of the obviously growing fan base and the appeal they have in general because of the history that is associated with the club. Now, but to not tarnish that, and United, I think it's a very good move by the stakeholder that they don't want to tarnish that image that is already there and get in a personnel who's been clearly proven in, although one side of country, but the way he's proven to one dominant against Bayern Munich or Borussia Dortmund, the way he's transformed those small clubs is a reflection of what kind of a personnel he is. I was recently also going through one of his recent conferences where he was talking about what kind of football he likes, what is his philosophy of game. And considering he's a very old personnel, he's 60 years old, but he still believes in the data-driven philosophy of football. Being brought by Wenger in his days and now being followed by German football manager as well. And I think that it'll keep on growing, the data-driven approach, which players, you're tracking players every bit. The way we track players' performance in an FPL point of view or sometimes more from a statistical point of view, but also from how they're pressing, what kind of lines they're running, what kinds of passes they did, whether they were visionary passes or whether they are just going sailing through the game and not coming in the eyesight. So all these aspects you kind of see when you have that kind of approach in place. Then the second thing that comes is the concept of football that is there. So Jurgen's today's press conference and even Tuchel's press conference today clearly mentioned that one thing United can expect is having a very organized team. So although it's a similar setup to Jurgen Klopp, only 4-3-3 or sometime 4-3-2-1, but it will be more or less along those lines. And he'll try to enhance the pressing essence that has been missing for United under Ole. They've been on a more counter-attacking side, not controlling the game as such. So under Ralf, we'll see a very dominant United squad from the minute one. They'll try to hold the ball more. And mentioning about the pointers, he was clearly in his conference only was talking that I don't understand what is a little press. If you either go all out or you are not pressing. You don't call anything as a little press. So then it makes me think that there are certain players that currently at United who might not be as good at pressing. So what kind of change that he can bring in? So I've seen him, Leipzig play under him, and I've seen a few clubs play under him. Although it's history, but what I've seen that he doesn't do the pressing the way Liverpool are doing. With Liverpool, you have machines in the three centre forwards. And at Leipzig also, Timo Werner was a great centre forward and quite quick and quite good at pressing as well. But what Ralf can bring in is he might not have a very good pressing at the start, but there'll be traps. There'll be pressing traps that will reduce the option. He'll reduce the opposition. He'll try to isolate the passes. And that is also a kind of pressing that comes under the Gijan pressing philosophy, that if there's a team that who's better than you physically, better than you in passing the ball, like it's a better team in all aspects, then how do you tackle that team? So you can even develop a high pressing traps. So it won't be like with Ronaldo, if he's not tracing back or pressing right in front, what he can do or change in his philosophy, he can also set up traps of where the ball can be passed. And I think that's kind of change that we'll directly see from the minute go.
Right.
Or less, I think if I think even you being a United fan, you would also agree that having a personnel who has taken multiple roles of a footballing club is a thing that was missing at United. And I think it's a good shift.
Totally. No, I was actually coming to that about, well-coached team and being organized. So, I mean, we've been talking managers for the last three pods. Now I think we need to talk some study football. I was using the about to use the F word, but I'm study football in the coming pause. But since here we are on managers still, and we kind of discuss how the great pedigree of Premier League managers we have now in the league, and we're not just talking the top six clubs, we're talking way down in the league as well, the likes of Graham Potter at Brighton, Gerard at Villa, Bielsa at Leeds, and Ralf Hasenhüttl, the other Ralf, and who's also a disciple of Rang, if I can say that, who kind of playing this exciting brand of football, and their teams are well coached, well organized, well drilled. And here we are, there's something which you would have often heard from coaches, is especially at United, and Ole used to say this a lot, and even others also mentioned this, and people used to buy this, and I never understood this, and I'm going to say it now. This phrase that says, go out and express yourselves. I understand this phrase, and I'm not going to downplay that importance of that, because as players, you would want to enjoy because you're playing football for a living. But I don't think the likes of Pep Guardiola, Thomas Tuchel, or Klopp would just allow their players to do what they feel like on a football pitch. It's pretty evident that these top teams and their top players are so well coached, each player knowing what to do, when to press, how to press as a unit or as individuals, etc., etc. And I think that's something that, the godfather of gegenpressing pressing, Ralf Jagnik, if he's able to replicate for Man United, I think it will be something that they haven't seen happen at their own club, at Man United, and obviously have seen the likes of Liverpool and now Chelsea obviously taking that forward and having huge success with that. Tuchel came in at Chelsea, like we mentioned, just got 6 months, and he obviously won the Champions League, and he's now clear of the Premier League as well. Should be pretty favourites to win the league with Chelsea and Liverpool. Again, top coaches and the same kind of philosophy of football. What do you think is the impact of that philosophy in the long run? And that includes how that kind of trickles down to the academy even, and for example, if Ralf Rangnick does stay on as a consultant for the next 2 years after his 6 month role, how do you think that can affect and impact the whole football club in total, and not just this company which makes millions of dollars every month?
Yeah, there are certain aspects, but again, I'll go step by step. The first thing that you mentioned in the coaches being saying that letting the players express themselves, but I think it's, again, as you said, it comes down in boundaries, that let's say Klopp has a certain style of play and Pep has a certain style of play, and within that style of play they would expect their players, because obviously all of them are professional footballers, they've gone ranks and are playing in Premier League, so obviously they have a stature, that's why they're part of that particular club. So within those style of play, how beautifully you adapt themselves, how beautifully you adapt in the style the manager is requesting into, and how within that same aspect of the game or the style of football, how are you trying to also show your charisma, or how are you trying to show your own thing, that you can just make a move of your own or do something within that certain boundaries. And that does not let the player be inhibited. Some players might feel that we are being restrained, we are not able to do something. But I think that can be said for the CDMs in a team, but for attackers, and I think even the wing backs or wingers, that's kind of a free role always. It's we've seen that players like Arjen Robben, player like even Eden Hazard, they've had quite a flanky role throughout their career, but they've obviously tried to play a central role whenever required, whenever the team was missing out, some creative in the center. So that's what I think most managers mean when they try, the players let themselves express. And it's also down to the players who they feel can also adapt. They are versatile enough to adapt any style of play and also do their own thing as well in the game. Now, with Ralf, I think that thing will also be there. He cannot let Ronaldo do his own thing because he's a match winner. And what Ronaldo expect might be missing for him is he might not press the way he's expecting. But I think he will again adapt himself else also, because he's a key figure. He would understand who all within the playing 11 are the key figures who have that mentality of winning, who are fast, proactive in every term aspects of the game. And for that 11 setup, he'll try to see what is the best formation, what is the best playing style, whether that requires a high pressing, whether we need to play a high defensive line, whether it will be a midfield diamond. All these possible aspects, I think there are with the 30 years of coaching experience, I think one thing he would have learned is just by seeing the style of players, just by seeing how they move during a course of game, which is the kind of formation each player would fit in. And I think that's, he'll clearly adapt quickly. Now, the second thing was Tuchel and whether having Ralf in the consultancy role, how would that help? If that's correct, if that's what I've got. Now, I feel the things that United have lagged in the previous past 6-7 years, where after Sir Alex's, under Sir Alex, they had a man who could see a player playing for any other team and see whether he would be a fit at United. Now, I think with Ralf, you are getting the same quality. He has seen a lot of players throughout his career. And if he sees that there is a potential in a player who can directly fit in this particular system, they will try to get him. And it might not be a very recognized player, only still a potential, but he would do that. And I'm going back to an example of Ralf identifying Bobby Firmino as one of the strikers. And under Ralf, Bobby never played a very attacking role. It was always a cam role, something coming down from the midfield. But he inculcated some kind of attributes that Klopp saw, and then he got and is now a striker as well. So it's like the scouting that has been done so far under Ralf, under various clubs, none can be denied as this was a huge failure. Some might turn out in the right way, but most of them have been a great stars. We've seen Timo Werner coming from the same ranks to Chelsea. Mm. So there are aspects that we cannot directly ridicule that this is bad at United, or Ralf might not be able to fix this thing. So with this kind of philosophy of checking on scouting players as well, because he's been a football director, so obviously he's been very close to all this stuff as well. So I feel he's just not a coach. Basically, he's just an entire footballing brain that United is getting, and kind of envy also that I know for a fact that he's going to transform the youth setup. There are a lot of players that came from the RB Leipzig ranks. Minamino is a good example. There are other players as well who directly coming through the ranks of the youth and establishing them into the first 11. So these two things, I think he will try to inculcate in United, because I've seen from him that he's never been at the clubs who've had big pockets to spend. And now from coming from those kind of clubs to this huge brand of football, Manchester United, I think he would have luxury, but he would still see whatever best possible is available to him at the stage right now and what he can best shape this into, so that whosoever comes in takes it from there, and he should not have something in bits or pieces or still have some cracks to fill in. Whereas in terms of the style of play, I think that will change from manager to manager. I think for 6 months we might see a Ralf type of football, but moving forward, if there is a new manager coming in, they will try to inculcate. But I think the things that you cannot deny is that we will be seeing a very dominant football from Manchester United, the organization. You won't see any complacency in terms of if you are leading the game, if you're dominating the game in the second half, you just stress off and just relax. So all these kind of things that we've seen in bits of pieces under Ole, that won't come. I think United won't have that philosophy that we can come back in any game. It'll be obviously there under Ralf, but it's that how can we dominate the game from the minute one. So that's, I think, a big push.
I think one of the most amazing things about just kind of in hindsight, and now that I think of it and never thought before, was, and like you mentioned just now, Werner coming from the RB Leipzig setup to Chelsea, a proven player in that setup, and obviously Tuchel wanted to implement something similar, and he got him. Klopp got Firmino, and he was at Hoffenheim, and he was an unknown figure, unlike Werner. At least Firmino was not that big of a name, and Klopp knew what he was getting in a proven setup. And same goes for Sadio Mane. I think if he was at RB Salzburg back in 2012, obviously had that stint at Southampton. But again, Klopp knew that he would have been so well drilled in that setup, and exactly what he wanted to do at Liverpool, Mane would do amazing things, and he has done, and being so influential in that team and the success that Liverpool has achieved in the last few years, it's, you know, Mane has been a great figure. So yeah, I think one thing is said. I think recruitment, which has been such a mess again, just getting those players, big name players, and not able to fit them into the system, I think that should vanish, be it Ralf Ragnarok's temporary managerial role or be it a consultancy role. I think things, good things should happen. I'm just thinking if somebody like Ralf Ragnarok was at United 6 months or 12 months ago, I don't know if Ronaldo would have been signed for Man United, regardless of whosoever the manager was.
Yeah, that could be there, because we've seen a more young squad under Ralf rather than having aging players. That's a given thing. And it won't be surprising that he is benched for a few games under when you are... Might also be a fact where the other team is pressing high, where Ronaldo can be incompetent or not very good. There could be places where he might just bench Ronaldo, and could be a super sub as well. Like, I think Ronaldo in any point of time on the pitch is a great asset still, no matter if he's not doing one aspect of the game properly. But there are certain things that you can't just overlook. So that's a given thing.
Mm. Right. Now, Ralf Ragnarok, if he does end up at Man United, he will definitely not be in charge of the game against one of his disciples, who's the manager of Chelsea Football Club, Thomas Tuchel. Now, coming to that, and we'll kind of quickly preview this game between Chelsea and Man United on Sunday. Now, Chelsea absolutely demolished Juventus midweek, 4-0 in the final score. On the other hand, Man United also got 3 points against Villarreal and secured the top spot in the group and a spot in the knockout stages. What do you think might happen this Sunday at Stamford Bridge? Do you see Man United getting any sort of result against Chelsea, or will it be just one-way traffic at the bridge like it was against Juventus?
So I'm not ruling out United of the game, but I still feel on paper, obviously we've seen the Chelsea throughout the season, so they are the most dominant squad. On their day, they can beat any team. We just saw how they thrashed Juventus in the Champions League, how the way they are just organized right now is just next to any other club who's performing. But I will still not rule out United because just of the intensity of this particular game. Big games in PLs are always kind of unexpected. We've seen some string of results. Even when United was out of form, Ole just defeated Pep Guardiola. So that was also... We cannot rule out big clubs in big games. It's just the beauty of Premier League, I would say. But in terms of how both the teams would set up, how the both teams are looking right now, I think Chelsea obviously are favourites to win this, and United are clearly underdogs. They might not be in prior history, but clearly this time the gap between Chelsea and United is huge. I've probably in my time, I have not seen these two clubs being so divided, and there's a huge gap between them, probably during the time of Conte and sometime during even Mourinho, the second Mourinho stint, but never been that United would be so underconfident against the Chelsea side. And it's just not down to that United are very bad. It's also the fact that Chelsea are just rolling away. Right. I was reading Tuchel's stats recently, and in his first 50 games, he's just conceded 24 goals, which is quite astonishing, because the next man who's come close to is Pep Guardiola, whose team has conceded 29-30 goals as well. And which we thought that is the best defensive setup we've seen in PL for quite a long time. So there's clearly evident changes that Tuchel squad has. We've seen I've never seen wing-backs be so powerful. I've spoken a lot about Liverpool and their wing-backs in the prior season in which we even won the title, and the season in which the Liverpool won the Champions League. The wing-backs were prolific. But the way Chilwell and Reece James are currently performing is just, I've never seen a team having such a tight wing-back role where they're just scoring and assisting game in, game out. So that's one big threat. With Chile injured for probably rest of the season, I think Alonso would come in his place. So that could be a place to target for United, I feel. The right hand, if the Sancho is playing, I think he could give Alonso a run of him for his money. So that's where I think could be a target area for United. Else, if Chile was there, again, Chelsea play a very high line. So they would always try to compress United in their own half and just keep on attacking and not let them have a particular play. So I expect a very dominant possession game from Chelsea, considering it's a home game as well. But on the other hand, I would never rule out United because I've seen some bits of counter-attacking football, which is also next to any other club. They've played pretty good counter-attacking football. It's just six passes from De Gea to Ronaldo or Greenwood, and it's a goal. So you've seen some bits and pieces moments that they do click. But it's also down to the fact that they should not concede early, because since the time Ole's downfall has started, whenever they've conceded first, it's been very hard for them to turn it around. Whereas in the previous season, it felt like that United would just score any time. But that feeling has, I think, depleted in the recent time, which I think they need to get that confidence back. The recent victory was obviously a big one, and they should always build on that particular confidence, build on that particular momentum. And it's their chance to at least prove themselves as individuals as well, because not just the manager has been criticized. I think players like Maguire, Shaw, Bruno, Pogba have been getting a lot of slick from everywhere. So they also have something to step up to. It's a game that even they are would be thrilling to go and go almighty onto the opponents. But I still would feel that it could be a match of two halves, as I'm saying, because what Chelsea currently has slightly shown me in the second half performance is that whenever they score early, their complacency increases in the second half. So if United could tap that particular aspect of the game, and they might not be complacent for a very huge time. It's just that when you're pressing so high, the team gets tired in the second half, and there will be gaps where you can just counter them and score a few goals, in which some teams have taken advantage of Chelsea. But again, I want to see that from United, who have been a good counter-attacking squad this season, is that the defense and the midfield haven't just collectively worked in efficiently. So that's where I feel the gap is. Other than that, I think injury-wise, Chelsea are on the backside here. So United do have a plus with Kante, Lukaku, Werner, I think, would be featuring. But Kante, Lukaku, and Chile won't be featuring in this game. So they do have not their preferred choices in their lineup. So if United get a hold on midfield in this game, I think they do have an outside chance. What do you think?
Firstly, I didn't know Chilwell was known as Chile.
Yeah, Chile. It's I think his Insta handle that makes everyone say that. And Tuchel even mentions Chile in press conferences. So that's every journalist now taking that name.
Or it, I didn't know that. Yeah, Chile is out for 6 weeks. All the best to him. And hopefully, like you said, United might take advantage of that. Fun fact, United have not lost at Stamford Bridge for 2 years, I think, in the league. But yeah, they've not lost to Chelsea in the at the bridge. So I don't know if that can be repeated or not. But nevertheless, it will be a spicy game, definitely. I'm not too sure as a United fan. So we'll wait for the godfather of Gegen Pressing to join the football club, who should be in the dugout probably against Arsenal. And but still, Chelsea versus United Sunday should be a good game.
Yeah.
Now, we'll stick to Gegen Pressing here. This should be one of the top trending words this week. And along the same lines, we got two managers of the same mold on the touchline this week going against each other as Liverpool play Southampton at Anfield. Klopp versus Jurgen Klopp versus Ralf Hasenhüttl. And both have, like we mentioned earlier in this pod, that have been kind of inspired by Ralf Rangnick and the gegenpressing. This is a nice word, gegenpressing. I like this word. A lot of good syllables in it.
Yeah.
Germans and the language. And nevertheless, right. So for this game, Varun, Liverpool and Southampton, Mane playing his ex-team here, even Van Dijk for that matter.
Yeah.
What do you expect from this game?
So Southampton have not looked pretty good this season overall. There have been few standout players, but apart from that, there haven't been signs of whether they are just progressing from the previous season or not. Whereas Liverpool have also shown signs of a depleting form, but from a defeat or a bad game, they just come out very strongly, and that's what we've seen in the Champions League as well. So a very tough game for Southampton, obviously, on any day playing at Anfield, and this would be the third home game straight for Liverpool. So they are getting used to getting that home field, that a home crowd backing again. So I don't see any chance of Southampton getting a result at Anfield. Had it been at Southampton, it could have been an outside chance, but right now I don't see. Although Ralf Hasenhüttl has a good record against Jurgen Klopp, even in PL, Southampton managed to defeat Liverpool last season. So this was one of result, but they did show the signs of a good play. I think at that point of time, they did have Danny Ings and Charlie Adams playing pretty good attacking lineup. So all in all, it was working out for them. But this season, they haven't yet sorted out their front line. Broha, Armstrong have been in and out. So we still don't know who will be the preferred choice of striker. And then Livramento has been one shining light for Southampton this season.
Yeah.
So I'm having huge expectations from him in this game, although I don't see a clean sheet coming. But again, he would be facing Mo Salah. So it would be one of experience for him and a learning for him as well too. And I think it'll be a good battle to see, because Livramento is a very quick player and he could give Salah a tough time. But again, Salah has managed to outclass defenders like Cancelo, Diaz and everyone in the league. So I do expect him to again score in this particular game.
When we talk, are so well drilled. I mean, the same sort of philosophy by both coaches, but there's so much better players and so much ahead in that project that Klopp had started 6 years ago. Just, and obviously Anfield, I don't see Southampton giving them any sort of scares in that game.
Yeah, even if you had a chance to watch Southampton's last game, it was against Norwich. Norwich being, I think, probably the most underwhelming squad this season. Mm. And they were able to defeat a very strong lineup of Southampton. I won't say they had a very strong team on paper on that day, but they still managed to defeat them. Whereas the startling factors that I've seen, which is not working out for Ralf this season, is that his midfield hasn't been as controlled or organized that it was last season. I think James Ward-Prowse and Aurel Romeo, these two players were still in the previous game, but the way James Ward-Prowse creates, the threat that he has on set pieces or any open space that he can just deliver a particular cross in the box, and that's this kind of creates a threat. That thing is lacking from their game. They just kind of missing entirely. And whereas the other players, like I think right now they have Kyle Walker-Peters on their left wing back, who's, I don't know why Ralf is just sticking with him, and he still has options in his bench to again rotate and probably try some other player out there. I think he can try Burton there if he sees back, but he's been just sticking with him, and there have been a lot of attacks coming from that particular side again, which can be again either targeted by Salah, Trent, and so that's again a big factor to deal for him. Whereas if you talk about their defensive, I'm a good fan of Salisu. I've seen him quite closely this season, and he's been outperforming the other three defenders that are there. I think Livramento also at par with him, but Bednarek not at all good. Kyle Walker-Peters, I just talked about, not performing to the levels. So I think that their two good players and two bad players are just not making their defensive lineup any good. And James Ward-Prowse having been depleted so drastically that he's just not creating those set piece chances, not delivering the balls that we've always expected him to see. So there are some places where I think players are also losing out in confidence because they haven't got a string of good results. So having said that, I don't see one standout feature that could work out for them. I know Adam Armstrong is a very good physical player, so he could give some hard time to our defenders as well. But other than that, there is no particular threat that is looking like that could be a shining spot for Southampton, given that how poorly they performed against Norwich.
Yeah, I think they lost to Dean Smith's first game as Norwich manager, and now linger 13th in the league,
yeah,
while Liverpool are third and just what, 4 points behind Chelsea. So that should be some impetus, and obviously a great title race obviously brewing in the Premier League there. Also, I came across this fascinating record about Liverpool where Liverpool have scored two or more goals 16 games in a row, and
yep,
they're close to an English record, which is currently being held by Sunderland, and that was set up in the 1920s. So that's a mind-blowing record if they can get hold of that this game. And I think with that game at Anfield, like we talked, I think they have a great chance of achieving that as well. Right.
Yeah, I think with the current lineup that you see Liverpool, I think everyone's improving everyone's game right now, which I see. I don't see a fault note anywhere right now. I think it's just, even with the rotation and the injuries that we've had, we've talked about the 9 lists of injuries that we have, but Liverpool somehow carried themselves. The unit was together and they did get the result that was required for them. And I think games like Southampton are must win if they want to have a shout at title this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see more of Gegen Pressing this week. I'll have to count how many times I have mentioned Gegen Pressing in this last. Also, you know, just talking Gegen Pressing one more time before we wrap up, and the impact and what it could do at Man United. It'll be something absolutely completely new at Man United, and you know, obviously it's the need of the hour in this current day and age. We don't have those kind of player managers anymore. I think we talked about it last time as well. You know, loofing the ball up and parking the bus, it just doesn't work anymore. Even if you want to keep your team up, it doesn't work. I think more or less every manager kind of trying to implement something similar, and they do go down. Scott Parker's Fulham went down trying to do that, but at least they tried. So I think the Premier League is now just loaded with heavy metal football, and it's just getting better and better and stronger as a product. And football fans in general really have a treat to watch each weekend. And, you know, with this whole hectic winter period coming up in the next 4 to 6 weeks, that brand of football being implemented and that being repeated every third day will be really a joy to watch. Right. So that's it from us, listener. And if you're still at it, and I hope you are, thanks for listening. We hope you have a great weekend and you also enjoy another great weekend of football around Europe. Interesting times ahead for the Premier League, definitely, and hopefully for Man United. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.